A few days ago, the Grammys announced this year's winner in the spoken word category. And the winner is Quincy Jones for The Autobiography of Quincy Jones. So all ears in the audiobook world turn to next year's possibilities. Newcomers have to go through the yearly audition to pass. They hope that for them, as for Jim Dale, the reader who won big with Harry Potter, the money will just roll in. The art of reading for books on tape requires many talents, research, endless listening to the voices of the characters the actors must portray, and the ability to remember those voices as the text goes on. John Kalish reports.
Close to 50 aspiring and working audiobook narrators from around the country are gathered in a Manhattan hotel to read for a slew of audio publishers. Here's a sample.
The Country Club was a hum. For the final match of the 4th of July golf tournament was in full swing.
I know it was you who stole my vial. Give it back this instant before I turn you into a turnip.
Oh, beautiful damsel, please sing for me.
Each of the would-be readers paid $800 for their 5-minute audition. If they get hired, they can expect to spend 4 to 8 hours a day in a cramped sound booth. It's a routine that is familiar to Los Angeles-based actor and narrator Keith Sarabica.
You're in a small room, there's a light over you, there's a microphone and the book. And then outside the studio, there's an engineer and a producer, and everyone's keeping track as you go along, and everyone's listening and sort of chiming in from time to time. But it's a long, grueling process. You really got to sit there and churn it out. It's daunting.
Sarabica has done 15 audiobooks, including the Tom Robbins novel, Fierce Invalids Home from Hot Climates.
They awoke the next morning, wound in the rusty anchor chains of hangover. But Maestra fixed them a delicious late breakfast of ham biscuits with red-eye gravy.
All good audiobook readers research pronunciations and definitions. Some go as far as listening to recordings of sample dialects. New York-based narrator Barbara Rosenblatt says that for her it comes naturally.
I have an ear for mimicry, and always did, to the annoyance of many people growing up, and as you get older, you learn how to contain yourself. That's why recording books is such an outlet for me. I usually get saddled with things where there is a huge dining table and about 5 nationalities sitting around it, you know, Dutch, Irish, Arabic, American, and Polish. And I've got to be everybody with all the he says and she says in between.
In order to keep those voices straight, some narrators catalog them on cassette. That's how Jim Dale kept up with the 127 different character voices he did for Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Dale says he got the inspiration for the voice of the elf Dobby from a diminutive fellow he literally bumped into.
I heard a dwarf speaking in England. We were in an elevator, and suddenly I heard this voice behind me saying, "Excuse me, sir. Can you take your bum out of my face?" And I turned around and there's this little dwarf, and I remember that because it was so funny. "Could you take your bum out of my face?" And that became Dobby.
"Harry! Harry Potter!"
squeaked Dobby, plucking at Harry's sleeve.
"You is supposed to be down by the lake with the other champions, sir."
"It's too late, Dobby," Harry said hopelessly. "I'm not doing the task. I don't know how."
Performing audiobooks can be rough on the vocal cords. Dale recalls a day when he did the gravelly voice of Hagrid, the gentle long-haired giant who protects Harry Potter from those nasty muggles.
"He talks down here like this. Arr, it's like Long John Silver, but even deeper than that."
You try doing that take after take after take after take and line after line after line, and within 20 minutes you don't have any voice left. And we had to stop recording that day because I'd ruined my vocal cords.
I think narrating has become much more of an art form than it had been in the beginning.
Reviewer Rochelle O'Gorman listens to 150 audiobooks a year.
It's obvious now that a narrator can make or break a book. I just heard Ethan Hawke read The Call of the Wild, and he has a really nice voice, but he didn't seem to understand that this was a rousing adventure. At least it didn't come across that way. And he bored me. I sat there listening to his lovely voice and not to Jack London's adventure.
We're rolling. We're at the top of 59.
"My name is Vort Sabinring. You can call me Piggy."
Last sentence once more, watch the pea and piggy.
Grover Gardner is at work reading one of the Star Wars novels. He may be the hardest working man in audiobooks, with 500 under his belt since he started 20 years ago. Gardner is one of the few narrators who has the luxury of turning down books that don't feel right.
I remember once a company sent me a James Michener book, and it seemed like an effort for me. I didn't bring anything to it. And after one or two, I said, you know, you should send these to somebody else. And they did. And there have been a couple other times when I've gotten books and said, I wouldn't feel comfortable doing this. It can't sound like an effort.
Passing up an offer to narrate an audiobook is not something actor Keith Sarabajka has done. Even though Sarabajka won an Audie Award last year from the Audio Publishers Association, he hasn't gotten any narrating job offers since. But he does get the recognition of audiobook fans.
I had just walked in off the plane, and this guy said, I was listening to this book, he's telling his girlfriend, called Rising Sun, and this guy, he had to do this perfectly unaccented American accent with a Japanese man speaking it, and he still didn't know he was Japanese, and he did it! I don't know how he did it, but he did. And I said, that was me.
Sarabajka is not the only audiobook narrator who connects with the public. Hundreds of fans of Frank Muller send contributions to a recently established fund for the critically injured narrator. And some of America's leading authors raised $200,000 for Muller. Aspiring audiobook narrators are hoping they connected with the people who heard them read at the annual audition. They'll know if they're offered jobs in the coming weeks. For NPR News, I'm John Kalish in New York.